I'm Ryan.
And I'm Andrew from the Dat.io podcast, a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network. Just like the show you're listening to now,
the opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
You're listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome everyone. This is PopX Cast coming to you on this strangely Tuesday night. Ooh, Tuesday. Austin Burke, what's up in your neck of the woods, my friend? How you doing?
Well, I'm good, you know, working, and I'm excited to talk about some really good DC characters today, Joe. We got a cool show.
I just realized my microphone was on mute. So.
Oh, it's okay.
So welcome everyone to PopX Cast, episode number 82. I'm telling you, this has been such a crazy little bit of a transition for us.
Yes.
I have to blame Bill Gates right now. All right. So here's
what we're starting happened. At the top, Joe.
Let me bring it back to you on this calm, brisky, beautiful Florida Friday afternoon just about 4 days ago. And my computer, I came home, my computer was all pink. The screen was pink and it was updating. And I'm like, 45 minutes later, it's still updating. I'm like,
oh, no.
All right. So it did its thing. Some kind of like crazy service pack update. I come on here and my entire drivers for my sound card completely smashed.
Oh, geez.
Oh, dude. I'm telling you, it was...
That's a bad weekend. It's not good.
You sucked a little bit, just saying. Right there, that was bad. Anyway, you know what, though? This is episode 82. We are so excited to be able to just bring this another podcast to you guys. And we thank you so much. We do apologize for Sunday night. I know that we did put it out there, but we had no idea what Bill Gates had in store for us. You know what? We could blame the Joker, though. It could be the
Ooh,
Joker. Yeah.
He came in and messed everything up.
He did. He did.
Oh. I knew it.
Oh, that crazy old boy. All right, so you ready to kick this thing off, man?
Oh, let's do it, man.
All right, so hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, we'd like to welcome everyone right now joining us on our Facebook Live and our PopX.live chat room. So it's come on over and hang out and check out our official website, PopXcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. Be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after the show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we would certainly appreciate you guys showing us some love by leaving a 5-star rating and review. And if you missed episode 81, San Diego Comic-Con recap, wow, that was a massive show, Joe.
Oh, dude.
Check our official website at popxcast.com for that and great other past shows from our collective archive of geek. Geeky goodness.
I just channeled my inner Scooby-Doo. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, so, all right. News is coming up next. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. All right.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News. coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
Alrighty, PopXCast.com. I want to say a huge hello to our friends hanging out with us over in the chat room. We have Sean, Zach Hoffman, Luke, all these amazing people. And be sure to like this and share it out on your feeds. Or maybe if you belong to a Facebook group that's a video socializer type group, feel free to share the link and help us get the love out, okay? But kicking it off on this week's news, and we have DC comic fans have heard plenty of rumors regarding the Batman solo film. Now, supposedly featuring Batfleck, Ben Affleck, in his first appearance since the disappointing Justice League. I can't believe it. It was actually wrote. I was like, well, you know what? Why not? Yeah. Say it for what it is. But writer and director Matt Reeves provided an update regarding his plans for the new Batman movie, revealing that Affleck is still in discussions to star, while also teasing another actor could take on the role and mantle of Bruce Wayne. Very interesting. It sounds like a multiverse type situation coming up.
It really does.
And it sounds like Reeves is optimistic to begin filming soon. Now, what we've talked about is hopefully in the spring or early summer, something like that, Reeve went on the record to say. So it sounds like for me, though, these poor guys, they just can't get any traction. And Warner Brothers is not getting behind it because of, well, they kind of had some lackluster things, some mishaps at the old box office, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the whole Ben Affleck thing, this has been so just frustrating over the last, what is it, year and a half? Is he coming back? Is he not? Is he coming back? And we even heard these rumors before Justice League came out, and we're still talking about it. At this point, as much as I enjoyed Ben Affleck as Batman, just make a decision. DC, get your stuff together. Come on, man. I just want a good Batman movie.
Dude, you are so funny right now. You just went off the hinges.
I get so angry.
This boy's got some passion in his loins. I'm telling you, son.
Hey, you know what? You know what else I'm passionate about?
What is that?
Alf. So few 1980s television stars are as recognized.
Totally didn't see that one coming, but okay, go ahead.
The alien from Melmac, Alf, and it appears he will return to TV once more in a new reboot series. Warner Brothers is in the They're in the early stages of developing a reboot to the hit series, which ran from 1986 to 1990. Warner Brothers is currently searching for a writer to take on the Alf reboot, which is unclear if any of the former cast or creators will be involved with a new series. Joe, did you like Alf, and are you excited for the reboot?
I love Alf. I actually had an original Alf plush doll, and those were kind of a big thing in a kid. In when you were an 80s kid growing up, you didn't have an Alf doll. You kind of weren't the thing.
Lame.
It was like one of those things. You either had a Taggy Ruxpin or you had an Alf.
Okay.
You know,
I get that.
So my dad was a coal miner, so we couldn't afford the talking bear. So I got the one that was less expensive. The one that looked like a weird. But, weird. You know, if they're looking for a writer and director, I mean, why not just Quentin Tarantino?
Oh my God. A Quentin Tarantino Alf series, please.
You know what? You're welcome.
I just imagine what Alf would say in that situation, and it's not good, Joseph. There's a lot of.
I just keep going back to the Kill Bill sounds, you know, the old sound effects of Kill Bill. All right. On that note, I guess Alf is coming, and Warner Brothers is behind the helm, so hopefully it doesn't suck.
I like that. Hopefully it doesn't suck.
Yeah. All right. So the beloved Transformers, the movie, is making its way back into theaters. Now, the original one from 1984, but only for one single day. Oh. Now, Fathom Events, Hasbro Studios, and Shout Factory have announced that the 1986 classic, the Transformers, the movie, will be hitting theaters all around the country on Thursday, September the 27th at 7 p.m. Fans can head to the theater for the special event, but the version they will see has been completely remastered and restored from the original film elements.
Wow.
So not only that, but it also has a transferred into HD upscale. So this is the best version of the film of any fan could possibly see to date.
Oh my.
Transformers.
I mean, this is a great movie too, Joe. You see the new Michael Bay movies and you're like, what? I'm
God, Screen Earth. I like the first one, what? But the rest of them just what is
Peter Griffin here?
I mean, these things suck, but the old one. The old one is great, and I would actually pay to see that in theaters.
This is true.
I've seen it on a big screen, so cool.
I think it honestly, Transformers, Michael Bay drew a lot of his inspiration from that 1986 film.
Yeah, visually.
You know, you start thinking about the planet and just, you know, all the different characters that came out of that. Even, you know, the death of Optimus Prime, which was kind of portrayed. Yeah, so that was kind of hinted and portrayed, and then he came back in The Last Knight and all that stuff. But interesting. So go see it, September 27th, 7 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, it'll be worth your time and money, absolutely. So we move on to the LEGO Classic Voltron set has finally completed its two-year journey to production and can be ordered directly from LEGO right here, right now. For $179.99, grab one while you can.
They're selling like hotcakes.
They are so cheap. There's a decent chance this one could sell out. And if you are unfamiliar, LEGO is touting the Voltron set as the biggest buildable LEGO mech ever. Okay, that's kind of wanting to make me buy one. Yeah. With a grand total of 2,321 pieces, it comes complete with buildable, posable, combinable, black, blue, yellow, red, and green lions. Wow. And a huge sword and shield to attach to Voltron's hands. Joseph, will you be purchasing this set in the near future?
I'm looking for my wallet right now. I mean, it's, no, I mean, cool, I'm a huge Voltron fan. And yeah. Shame on me for, I'm only on season 2 on Netflix. I mean, there's so much saturation right now on the market. I can't keep up with anything right now. I am just like the worst turd, if you will.
What season? I'm a bigger turd than you are, but what season is Voltron in right now on
7.
Netflix? Because I feel like, what? Wow. I was going to say, I feel like they keep pushing out seasons. Wow.
They do. Yeah, they're in season 7 right now. I know that because I was on Netflix earlier going through some of the new stuff, and I was like, oh, there's Voltron. Let's see. Is it season 3? No, 7. I'm like, oh, but they're only 22-minute episodes.
Okay, well, that's not
bad. You know, they're 30 minutes.
It seems like everybody says it's great, too, so I would love to check it out in the near future.
Awesome. So moving along with the news, if you're a MoviePass subscriber, here we go. Austin, I should let you read this one. It's been a rough few days for you. Not only did the movie subscription service suffer a massive outage last week, then users began reporting that there were no longer available movie listings shown on the app, making the service useless. What? Now, the service reportedly borrowed $5 million to cover the cost of the movie tickets and get its payment processing services kind of back online after the outage. Then users took to social media. Ah, yes, the truth of social media will come out. And took to social media to report that the service was blocking ticket redemption for the just released Mission Impossible Fallout. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, Austin, as a MoviePass subscriber yourself, can you offer any insight into this conundrum, if you will?
Well, this is absolutely a conundrum. So I'm of two minds on this. First off, I want to say that MoviePass has saved me a lot of money, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Okay, so what it's done so far in my life is it's allowed me to see movies that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to review. Now, lately, the whole way they run their business is absolutely stupid. And the CEO is an idiot. I'll say that straight up. You're an idiot, sir. If you are watching, you're an idiot. You don't know how to run your business.
You're an idiot.
Stop being stupid. Just breathe less. So what I'm trying to say is if they don't come up with a proper business plan, now they have something in place right now that they just announced, and they have limited MoviePass to 3 movies a month with no blackouts and no limiting theaters and no upcharges, which they were upcharging me. I had to pay an extra $5 to watch a movie with 10 people in the theater because it was prime time. Are you kidding me? Yeah, absolutely.
What?
And I couldn't use it for Mission Impossible Fallout because of the blackout. And it said this movie doesn't exist. So this whole thing is just ridiculous. Maybe they've straightened it out, but I also heard just today that they are renewing people's subscriptions who have canceled the service.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're in big trouble, Joe. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I kind of saw the writing on the wall a long time ago. I mean, you say $9.99 a month for that kind of service. At some point, the movie studios and the local theaters in general, like especially mine here in Claremont, Florida, they're going to start rebuttaling, and it's not going to be pretty. And it sounds like it pretty much is coming to fruition from what I can gather. And the industry the movie industry itself is losing major amounts of money on ticket sales.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wonder if you could go back and recount MoviePass subscribers in the Infinity War era, if you could actually recount and see the actual number versus people that didn't even have to pay a dime.
And you know what's crazy? Infinity War, that was when I started to realize, okay, this is a bad business model, because when Infinity War came out was when they implemented the rule, you can only see one movie once. Ooh. If they would have had that rule lifted when Infinity War came out, that movie could have made a couple hundred more thousand dollars.
Yeah, it could have easily topped Seriously. Avatar too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, they keep adding these dumb rules and they're taking things away from people. And it's a bad business model, Joe. And I know you saw it coming. I did too.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's, if it sounds too good to be true, eventually at some point in time, it's going to come back. And yeah.
All right. It is too good to be true. Absolutely. So we move on to something a little more positive, Joe. I know you're going to like this. One of the largest Star Trek conventions, Star Trek Las Vegas, concluded last week. And one of the biggest announcements that has been rumored for months, Star Trek Discovery co-creator Alex Kurtzman, who I love, made a special appearance to give an update on the next Star Trek show in development for CBS All Access, in which Sir Patrick Stewart appeared to officially announce that he is returning to Star Trek as Jean-Luc Picard with a brand new series. So the premise of the new show, which is only speculation at this point, will take place after the last Next Generation film, and approximately 20 years have passed. No further details on the release date are known. Joe, I know you're a fan of the series, as am I.
Oh, my God. Jean-Luc Picard.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, my God. So the fact that they're keeping the movie canon?
Yeah.
And let me just stop you right there. They're keeping his last appearance. I think it was, I can't remember, what was his last one? Does it say it right here? And it's not Next Generation, but it
Voyager, was it?
No, I don't know. It was, I can't remember off the top of my head. And shame on me, because I am a Trekkie at heart. But when the fact that they're keeping it canon and they're not going back and doing anything or erasing part of that story.
I dig that.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And Jean-Luc Picard and Patrick Stewart have aged, and they don't even have to do anything in terms of special effects. He is Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah.
And so I think if we could just get him to do this at some point in the thing.
Oh, please. Just put him in a chair. Let him come in.
Put him in a chair and just let it be like, you know, let him start like, Gene.
Charles.
Gene.
Hello, Charles.
Gene.
Dude,
you are freaking unhinged tonight. I love it. Oh my God, you are just so awesome. I love you. I want to be like you when I grow up.
I want to be like you.
But yes, I'm very excited, and I will definitely follow that storyline for sure.
Yes, me too.
Among all the other million things that I can't keep up with. All right, so the last but not least, the last headlines of this week, and on July the 25th, Warner Brothers, oh boy, here we go. I might as well stop reading
now.
That's
a bad start.
You're horrible. It opened its gates to the most anticipated theme park that has been in development since 2007. Now, Warner Brothers World, oh my God, has opened at Yas Island in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, costing over $1 billion to build. Oh my gosh. This 22-acre park consists of 29 state-of-the-art rides with six distinctive lands. Now, Warner Brothers Plaza Bedrock featuring Flintstones-inspired rides, Dynamite Gulch, which features Wile E. Coyote, The Jetsons, Marv the Martian, Yosemite Sam-themed attractions, Cartoon Junction, the whimsical town with Bugs Bunny, Scooby-Doo, and other characters under one cartoon sky, Gotham City, home to Batman and supervillains, and the rides include Scarecrow Scare Raid, The Riddler Revolution, The Joker Funhouse, Metropolis with Justice League, War World Attacks, Green Lantern, Galactic Odyssey, and Superman 360, The Battle for Metropolis.
Oh my God.
That sounds pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Now, theme park admission costs 295 AED euro. That's approximately $80 USD. The one standout of the theme park is that it can be found all under one roof. It's a bit of a challenge for a theme park in the middle of Eastern Desert, but Warner Brothers World is a complete indoor theme park.
What?
The first ever indoor theme park.
Wow. That is okay.
Okay. That's
now you have my mind.
Being here in Florida, all right, let's just throw out Islands of Adventure, for example. You don't want to be in a theme park in July or August because there are areas of your body in which you didn't even know existed could sweat. I'm just saying that. We Floridians call it swamp crotch. Ooh. Now, it's disgusting. Now, and I know this is an E-rated for everyone, so I'm going to keep it clean. Don't worry. Joe's not diving down the rabbit hole into some kind of grammatical whatever. But think about it. You're not exposed to the elements. You're not exposed to the desert. And you can enjoy this vast, massive world that they've created. 29. Oh, my God. That's insane. 22 That's awesome. Acres. 22 acres over one roof. That's insane.
Indoors,
that's
Joseph.
That's insane. I have
and
nothing
you said
to say.
Warner Brothers, I was like, I don't know, but... You know what?
That must be where all their money has been going because their films have been sucking lately.
They're like, okay, we're moving away from the films. We're not going to make
Batman anymore. We're just going to make Batman rides so our kids can get in the Batmobile. You know?
What we have here is a...
I'm going to listen to that guy. Let's do it, guys. We got it. Come on.
In a world filled with Batman.
No, I'm just messing with you. Oh, I digress. All right, so we're moving on. I do have a hit it of the week, so this is going to be kind of cool, so don't go to where.
And now it's time for PopX's of the week.
All right, so the hit it of this week is actually a couple of really cool things that I have picked up this past week. I'm going to save this little guy for the end. But this one right here is really cool. Now, we haven't heard from this family in quite some time. And this past week, last Wednesday, Fantastic Four number one dropped on the shelves in the comic book store. Now, we get to learn where the dynamic first family of Marvel have been for the past 4.5 years. There hasn't been a Fantastic Four book made in 4 years.
Wow.
So we get to kind of, now this continues on the legacy. Now Marvel has been doing this really cool thing where you think, well, that's number one. What happened to the original numbers? Yeah. So look right here in the top. This is legacy number.
Oh,
so
wow.
So this is picking up on 646, but it's starting with a brand new storyline of issue number one.
That is
so
cool.
So now all their legacy numbers, like you wonder, like Captain America 800, what happened to Cap? Even though it says number one on the issue, they're now having the legacy numbers on there as well.
That is smart.
It's very smart. But I haven't had a chance to read it. But from what I've heard online, it really picks up and there is a new villain introduced. Ooh. And from what I gather, it's a new form of Doctor Doom.
Oh, cool.
So this is going to be awesome. And you know what? You know what's really awesome about this? I think now we can actually be very happy because with Disney acquiring the rights to Fox and all of that, we're going to get a proper introduction into MCU, probably at some point after Infinity War. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to bring them in right now because of just the complicated storyline. But I think this is going to be the future, Phase 4, Phase 5 of the MCU. And so this is pretty awesome. The artwork is really great. I'll give you one more good shot of that. So there's
His beard.
Look at that. So we got Reed Richards, Sue Richards, Johnny Storm, and Ben Grimm, the Thing.
Awesome.
And it just looks beautiful. So this is still out right now. If you go to your local comic book shop, you can probably be lucky enough to pick up yourself a number one, pick up on the storyline as well. Now, Austin Burke, you're a movie connoisseur, correct?
Ooh, yes, sir.
What dropped today?
What movie dropped today or what?
What movie dropped today in physical form on home release?
Well, I know American Animals dropped on digital release. You guys should check that out. But Avengers Infinity War is on DVD and
so
Blu-ray.
So look at this beauty. Now, this is a Best Buy only exclusive. Now, I did my homework. I'm like, you know what? When I buy the Avengers Infinity War, I want to get the best offer and the best package out there. So I looked at Target. I looked at Walmart. I looked at Amazon. Nah. Then here's Best Buy. Best Buy Steelbook. It's a steel case. And just look at it kind of glows. It's got this weird, like, it's just beautiful, dude. It is beautiful.
I didn't even see his face on there. Oh, that is awesome.
All right, so I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you inside right quick too. I can't show you my movie redeem code, but let me take out the disc. So the 4K disc actually has the scene with Tony Stark on it.
Oh yeah,
so look at that. Okay.
Oh, I love that.
All right, and then let me take out the Blu-ray, which is just a standard Blu-ray disc. Nothing too fancy. This is what's really cool. I love the inside of this. You know they always go out on the insides. Look at the artwork of the heroes. Let's see. Look at that.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that good?
Man. That's awesome.
So it dropped today, and it's I'm pretty happy. And Best Buy, one of the things, we're not endorsed by Best Buy or any of the other set brands, but I will say this. If you pre-order one of their releases, you will get it the day of. So this was waiting on my door for me today when I came home from work. The back, if you're curious, it just has the A on it. And then there's the spine. The spine actually has a little bit of artwork. But that cover, though.
Oh, that cover. Just the movie. Oh, that movie. Oh.
All right. So that's that. So definitely check out this week's Hit It. And be sure to check out the Fantastic Four. As it's a great story, it's a great series. So Austin Burke, are you ready to like dive into the world of Lobo and Shazam on Origin Story?
Yes, I am beyond ready. Let's do it.
So if you notice over on the right hand side in our live stream, if you're watching the video, you notice that our little thing is kind of moving down as we're talking about the topics. This is something new that we're trying out. If you like it, and like if you say, for example, you watch the stream midway. And you're like, well, where are they at in the stream? Just check it out, and this will kind of give you a little bit of an idea. Now, some of the backstory before we dive in 100%. Lobo, the reason why are we doing Shazam? Why are we doing Lobo? Shazam, obviously, the trailer dropped at San Diego Comic-Con, and it's coming out in 2019, so we're going to get the Shazam movie. I was actually kind of happy with the trailer. I was kind of happy with it because it kind of felt good. It's weird, but when you understand why it is that way, that it's the child in a man's superhero body, once you get that into your head, you're like, it makes sense now. And Lobo has been confirmed as the villain for Krypton Season 2.
Yes.
On Sci-Fi Channel. So for you guys that don't know who Lobo is or you have no idea what he is, I think tonight your idea and perception of Lobo is going to change. No, I know it. Because when we read some of these facts tonight about Lobo, you can understand why this could be one of the biggest bads other than Darkseid in the DC universe.
Yeah.
And this is a big deal. All right? So you ready to hit this off, Mr. Burke?
Oh, I'm ready.
Let's start with Shazam first. Let me switch over the old Shazam there. All right. Here we go. Clear the throats and let's do it. All right, so let's take you back to 1939 when a company called Fawcett Comics published a comic book called Wiz Comics Number 2, okay? Now we're all the way back to 39. We're back when Batman 1 came out, okay?
Yo,
this is a different company, too. This is not even Detective Comics at the time.
Yeah.
So, which starred a character called Captain Marvel. We'll come back to that part here in just a minute, okay? The hero was the alter ego of a young boy named Billy Batson, who, when he called out the acronym Shazam of the six immortal elders, would become an adult costume superhero, and he could fly, he had superhuman strength, he moved with super speed, and found himself with a whole bunch of other powers over time. Cool. Now, Billy began his journey as a young orphan who accidentally discovered the lair of the wizard Shazam when he wandered into an abandoned subway station and a magical subway car in the interestingly titled aforementioned Wiz Comics Number 2. Now, we say interestingly titled because there was never a Wiz Comics Number 1.
What?
This is all true. You can't make this. Yeah, no, there was never a number 1. The issue was drawn by artist C.C. Beck and written by Bill Parker, and sparked what was undoubtedly the most popular comic book series of its day. Now, Wiz Comics Number 2 even outsold Superman, which led Fawcett to create the Marvel family, a team of superpowered kids who could also wield the power of Shazam. Now, the original issue also introduced Billy Batson's longest-running foes, Dr. Savannah. Now, the villain originally began as a humanitarian and who wanted to better the world, but who was driven to evil by giant corporations and violent conservatism. I get it out in a minute. So Savannah is also a cosmic comic bad guy, as he got so sick of Earth that he could actually, he actually moved to Venus before heading back to the world and became the first person to realize that Billy Batson was actually Captain Marvel, leading to an ongoing battle between Billy and Savannah. Now, Billy Batson was so popular in 1941 that he got his own series, Captain Marvel Adventures.
Very cool.
And he also earned a movie the very same year. You may have seen it on Google or on YouTube, you know, the old black and white Shazam. It was out there, which soon became the most popular comic of its time and one of the best-selling of all time, with a reported circulation of 1.3 million copies a month.
Whoa.
We're talking in 41.
Yeah.
Yeah, a big time. So wow. 1941 was also the year that would change Captain Marvel's history forever, as National Comics, now known as DC, sued Fawcett for copyright infringement, claiming that Captain Marvel was a ripoff of Superman. This is where it gets crazy.
Oh yeah.
Though it would take a decade and a couple of different trials and appeals, as well as a decline in sales, Fawcett eventually agreed to permanently cease publication of Captain Marvel in 1951, closing their comic book doors forever in 53.
Man.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. That's, I didn't know the most of that. That and the you said you could probably find the movie on YouTube. Because I'm interested to see that.
It was one of those type, what do they call them, series? It was a retro series. It was only like 12-minute episodes.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those type of things, like when you went to the picture house, you would see there wasn't trailers in 1941, but there was like, it was a place when people, all right, so let me explain this right quick. This is a really good question, and it's a good historical question. When people went to the cinema back in the day, the only place they could actually get their news, or they could get information, or they could see little snippets, this is where Looney Tunes came from. This is where, you remember when you had the old duck and cover type videos, and then you had the war reports. Oh, meanwhile, in World War II, over in Germany, our troops were fighting on, you know, you would hear that triumphant music. That was the trailers of the day. So they would, I give you a good one, Steamboat Willie, Walt Disney Pictures. That was a pre-feature to an actual film.
No way.
Yeah. So that was the trailers of the day. So Looney Tunes and all these old classics would come out. Shazam was like that as well.
That is, wow.
It later got syndicated. Awesome. It later got syndicated into like this old TV drama, which they took that footage and made it into it. But that was a little historical back.
No, that is awesome. That is very cool. A lot of things that we didn't know about this character, and still more to come. So it wouldn't be until almost 20 years later that DC would license the Captain Marvel characters, relaunching the book under the title, as we now know it, Shazam. This was due to a copyright issue with a Marvel Comics character with the same name who was established in 1967 when the rights for the original were murky at best. We speak, of course, and you guys probably know this character even better than Shazam, and that is Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Mar-Vell, forebear to Carol Danvers, who is, as we know now, the Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So over at DC, however, original artist C.C. Beck, and I know of his work, fantastic, joined writer Danny O'Neill for new tales, and the book even held the subtitle The Original Captain Marvel for a short period before changing to The World's Mightiest Mortal, which is pretty cool as well. The stories retold Billy's classic origin and retconned a huge gap in continuity by explaining that Savannah had trapped the Marvel family in suspended animation for 20 years. Through the series, it was heavily advertised by the publisher, and the reception from fans was relatively lukewarm. So what I'm seeing here, Joe, is this character started out very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of this controversy behind the scenes, he slowly just got fans kind of forgot about him. And we're even seeing that now, because I've seen a lot of people see the trailer for Shazam and say, Who's that? And that blows my mind because yeah. I love Shazam as a character. So he's definitely a character you guys should check out. And we're trying to tell you a little bit about him
and,
right now.
You know, my first exposure to Shazam was actually the cartoon. You remember Shazam and the little dog? Do you remember that? Oh, boy. Oh, I am predating you, man. That's sad. Holy cow. All right, continue.
No, what's the animated movie called with Superman? It's like Shazam versus Superman. He's made appearances in the Justice League animated show, and that's really how I got introduced to him. But his comic books are great.
He's also in the Injustice video game saga as well. You can play Shazam.
Awesome. Yeah. And Black Adam is awesome as well.
Which is going to be The Rock.
Oh, hopefully, eventually.
Hopefully.
I'm thinking he'll cameo in the new movie, but that's for another day. Yeah. So in 1985's Crisis on Infinite Earths, the Shazam family was introduced into main DC Comics continuity. By 1991, the company had acquired all of Shazam's characters. In 1994, writer/artist Jerry Ordway authored an original graphic novel called The Power of Shazam. This take on the red, white, and gold champion of orphans everywhere saw Billy's parents as archaeologists in Egypt, murdered by their partner, Theo Adam. Otherwise, Billy's origins stayed relatively close to the original Fawcett comic. The Power of Shazam was popular enough to get an ongoing series that ran until the end of the 1990s. But as time would have it, Captain Marvel once again fell by the wayside at the end of the decade, making only sporadic appearances in other titles or testing the waters in his own occasional miniseries in the 2000s. The Marvel family antagonist and anti-hero, as we were just talking about, Black Adam, grew into his own during this period, becoming the focal character or a focal character in the experimental weekly series simply titled 52. But that iteration of the Marvel family was to be short-lived as the entire DC line relaunched yet again with the New 52 initiative in 2011, where Captain Marvel was officially renamed, finally, Shazam for good and given his own reoccurring backup feature in the ongoing Justice League series. This era also included a lot of non-continuity stories like Kingdom Come.
Alex Ross. Oh my gosh, his artwork on that. Anyway.
Oh, it's fantastic. And The Power of Hope. So in these backups, Geoff Johns and Gary Frank provided their own take on Billy's classic origin, the newly christened Shazam family, and Black Adam for a couple of years. Now, if you're excited about the upcoming Shazam movie, you might do well to have a look at Johns and Frank's New 52 run, which looks to have a huge influence on the film. The entire New 52 line was relaunched recently, and it's been announced that this November we'll see a new Shazam series by Johns and Dale Eaglesham. And that's just in time to reintroduce the character to new audiences before the film drops in April. And guys, I encourage you, Shazam is such a cool character. And a lot of people say he's a ripoff of Superman.
Mm.
Joe, I know you feel differently because I do as well.
I do feel differently. I mean, yeah, his powers are definitely decked out, you know, in terms of the supernatural and the superhero and all of that.
Yeah. Magic.
You know, Kal-El requires the sun. Shazam just says the word and embodies the power of the god, one of the six gods, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so I think Black Adam gets his power from one of the other gods. And that's why the conflict is constantly happening between Black yes. Adam and Shazam. Shazam was one of those characters I didn't really understand that much about until after the New 52. Mm-hmm. But New 52 in 2011, which kind of totally revamped the entire face of DC Comics, pretty much.
Yeah.
It was kind of like DC was pretty much hitting the reset button on all their main characters. But I think that Shazam now has kind of, since we've gotten away from the Captain Marvel mantra and all of that, I think he's starting to kind of slowly build momentum. And mm-hmm. it would be really cool to see Shazam as a part of maybe, if they ever do a second Justice League movie, which I hope they do, it would be cool to see like Shazam in that aspect, maybe at the point when the Green Lantern Corps is out.
And
so they can actually have Green Lantern and maybe Martian Manhunter.
That makes sense.
And, you know, the actual core Justice League. Yeah. I know I'm getting like old school. I'm going back. You
yeah.
know, let's get back. You know, Plastic Man. Anyway.
Plastic Man. So. No, a cool thing that I think is it's eventually going to happen, but I even expect it in the first movie, is I think we're going to get a Superman cameo because Superman's such a big influence on this story.
Yeah.
And you even see it in the trailer that in the newspaper it says Superman. So
yes.
I want to see, and Henry Cavill has hinted about it on Instagram. So
has he really? Now, what can you give me a refresher because I haven't seen those.
There was a post, okay. And I can't remember how recent, this might have been even months ago, where he compared, I believe, Superman or Shazam, or it may have been a comment on somebody's picture, but whatever it was, I recall it being the headlines were Henry Cavill hinting at blah, blah, blah. And then they've asked him in interviews, and they've also asked Zachary Levi, how cool would it be? And every time I see their answers, I'm like, all right, something you can just
tell. Something's going on there, huh?
Something's going on, and I love the fact that they have these two mighty beings, and they keep teasing it back and forth. DC, they've messed up a lot, but they know how to get our palates wet. So that makes me excited, man. It really does.
Makes me excited too. Well, that's pretty awesome. So, So now that we're all caught up on Shazam and his true origin, do you have a personal pick of Shazam's origin? Do you like? You like the old school Fawcett comics days, or do you like the new stuff where his parents are archaeologists? I can't say. Archaeologists. Anyway, in Egypt, uncovering things. Archaeologists. Anyway, so do you like which story do you like? And are you excited to see Billy Batson in all of his glory on the silver screen? Because they are keeping, from what I understand and from what I've seen, the trailer, they're keeping that really true to the comics.
Yes.
In that a child is inhabiting the body of a massive superhero. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, the hero looks very padded. Yeah, I mean, I was a little, I had a little problem with the suit. You know, I was just like, I don't know if that was the right casting call. Because Shazam for me is kind of chiseled. You know, he's kind of a big dude. Kind of like,
big dude.
If you could clone Henry Cavill, maybe. I'm just saying.
Bringing another Henry Cavill.
Right. But I want to know what your favorite part is. And you have a Shazam story that, do you remember seeing the cartoons, or do you remember seeing the old chapters that came out back in the day or anything like that? Comment below, let us know, and we might read it at the end of the show on the live stream. So now we're going to transition over into Lobo. Ooh. Now, this is going to be a good one, so let's transition that over. Lobo is interesting. Lobo was created on a whim, and the writers, I'll give you a quick backstory and then we're going to dive into the full story. They, at the time, I think it was kind of a Deadpool type thing. You know how Rob Liefeld created Deadpool to make fun of Deathstroke from DC? Wade Wilson, Slade Wilson. There's kind of a similarity there.
I love that.
Lobo was kind of created as like, let's just create this character and we are going to make him, and he is just going to be the most powerful thing in the world. And this is why you don't see him as much in DC Comics, is because he is very powerful. And we're going to dive into that right now. Awesome, Burke.
Yeah.
It's all you, my friend.
Let's do it, man. And you don't expect this character, especially when you see him like I did the first time on the animated series. The guy comes out. He's crazy. He's a nut job.
Mm-hmm.
But man, is he powerful. So I'm excited to talk about him. So we're going to start with the Lobo origin story. Lobo has two varying origin stories based on DC's Crisis Saga. Now, if you guys know anything about the Crisis Saga, it's pretty cool.
Yes.
So from 1963 to 1985, the term crisis was used to describe the annual event which the Justice League of America of Earth 1 and the Justice Society of America of Earth 2 met and worked together, usually in an incident involving one or more of the parallel worlds of the DC multiverse. The usage culminated in 1985's year-long Crisis on Infinite Earths, a company-wide crossover in which the multiverse was eliminated. It's also a great animated movie. After several years of disuse, the term crisis was applied to several events with either universal stakes or substantial character consequences, such as Zero Hour, Crisis in Time, Identity Crisis, Infinite Crisis, or Final Crisis. So there's so many examples in the DC universe.
Yep.
So let's talk pre-Crisis. So before DC's monumental Crisis Saga, Lobo was a member of the Vel... Now, make sure I'm saying this right.
Velorpian.
The Velorpian. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so the Velorpians were difficult to kill because they possessed the ability to replicate themselves from any injury short of complete vaporization. That's ridiculous. This led to overpopulation, sounds like Thanos, and a legacy of greed. So the Scions eventually gave the Velorpians a poison that would lead to their downfall. Lobo, this also sounds like Thanos, was the only survivor. Interesting. He was the only survivor. Wow. So hired by the Citadel to attack the Omega Men, Lobo felt there was a breach of contract when he was not trusted to capture Tigor alone. In revenge, Lobo helped the Omega Men assassinate the Gordanian leader, so Lobo would later help the Omega Men for free, attributing his going soft to the site of Counterfelt Valorpians. So the last story of the Vega star system ended with Lobo taking the contract on his former partner, Bedlam. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's a lot of things going on here. Lobo, he's a sneaky sneak.
But that's his pre-crisis. Yes, right? So that's his pre-crisis origin. You know, we're understanding that he is a Valorpian. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's a bounty hunter. He takes contracts. And his last job was that of his former partner. So that's kind of an interesting twist.
It's very cool. He's got like a Boba Fett feel to him. A little bit,
Boba Fett meets Deadpool.
Yeah, that is awesome. Boba Fett meets Deadpool. Yeah, that's fantastic. So now we're going to get into post-crisis. So post-crisis, Lobo was born on the peaceful planet Zarnia, not Narnia. By some accounts, he tore out of his mother's womb. Hey, who doesn't? By others, his mother told him to find what he did best before he killed her. Other accounts claim that his parents became hermits due to the evil that they unleashed. There were many theories as to why Lobo inflicted so much violence, which was unheard on Zarnia. I'm getting a lot of just Thanos in my head.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
This is freaking me out. So though the exact cause was never determined, it was concluded that Lobo, he was just plain bad.
He's a bad mamma jamma.
He's a bad mamma jamma. So at the age of two, Lobo requested a song be played continuously on the station, Cosmic Rock Zombie. It was "I Killed My Folks" in parentheses, no accident, which Wolfman Wilf played nonstop out of fear for his life. Lobo became fed up with being like others and set out to establish his own identity, and this meant a wardrobe change. So by the age of 16, he had killed half of the planet's population.
God bless.
Half of the planet's population. By age 17,
Thanos.
He had engineered a plague that caused irreversible natural damage and excruciating pain for days. Neural damage. I'm sorry. And excruciating pain days before the victim died. Mm. Wow, this is violent. Having made himself immune, he murdered 5 billion Zarnians while he played death metal. Only one Zarnian survived the plague. And that was Lobo's fourth grade teacher. Listen, Joe, this is...
I'm telling you, dude, when you get into this, it's different. This is probably the most interesting origin story you've ever heard in your life.
Why do more people not know about Lobo? This guy needs his own movie. This is awesome.
Well,
this is awesome.
Here's an interesting thing. We're going to unpack some things here in this next segment that I'm about to read to you that may raise an eyebrow, and you'll understand why. Okay. Having no plans to rule a dead planet, Lobo set out to find employment to feed his space dolphins. I can't make this stuff up. After several failed jobs, he became a bounty hunter. One of his contracts from Manga Khan was to kill the Justice League. Oh, now the plot thickens.
Okay.
Now let's talk a little bit about his creation. Okay. So initially, Lobo was a recurring character in the Omega Men and created by Keith Giffen and Roger Slifer. Now, he was created, according to Giffen, as a satire for violent anti-heroes like Wolverine and Punisher. Okay? So, you know, Wolverine and Punisher, kind of R-rated, slashing your head off type stuff. So was, Frank Castle. Everything about him is literally outlandish and excessive. From his origin to his powers, even his very language. He was retconned by Alan Grant and Simon Bisley in 1990, and his popularity pretty much soared from that point. As a bounty hunter, Lobo will take up any contract if the money's right. Whether it be his fourth grade teacher, Santa Claus, or even God himself, Lobo will get the job done. So there's no big job too small, I guess.
Wow.
He has been barred from heaven and hell, okay, effectively making him immortal by default. His speech is peppered with what Detective Comics hoped fans hoped was family-friendly profanity such as frag and bassage. All right, so there you go. He is not all that bad, though, as he always is true to his word and a conservationist of space dolphins.
Oh my God.
All right, now, in his travels around the universe, Lobo has frequently found himself either on Earth or encountering its heroes. Now, Lobo is rarely diplomatic, and these encounters often become violent. Lobo's first trip to Earth, as well as many other later encounters, saw him clash with none other than Superman. Now, wow. Here is the twist I was telling you about. As both of them are immensely powerful and unable to decisively beat each other, you heard me right, Superman usually has to find a way to appease Lobo before the damage and the death toll gets too severe on Earth. Due to his inability to beat Superman, Lobo will often challenge him in an effort to finally prove he is better. So there you go. Quite interesting, right? So Superman has to bargain with him because it's interesting. It is said that the Zarnians can only be truly killed by another Zarnian. Though this does not matter to Lobo either way, as he cannot die by any means. Lobo can survive unaided in the vacuum of space. Lobo possesses superpower strength that enables him to lift over 100 tons. He also has superhuman durability and a healing factor that allows him to pretty much heal from even the most serious of injuries relatively pretty quickly, faster than Deadpool. Despite his size, Lobo is surprisingly quick. Lobo is able to survive in the rigors of space without food or air, although he needs booze regularly. Now, not for survival, by the way, just because he wants it. Lobo has an unbelievably good sense of smell that allows him to track anyone. That's why he's a bounty hunter. He meets within a few solar systems. He can smell them away. Now, he also smokes cigars in the airlessness of space just because he needs his cigars. Now, interesting, crazy story, right? Yeah. I mean, it's almost like everything you're reading is pretty much satire.
It's like watching Rick and Morty. They're coming up with this as you go. I don't know who or what or why, but this is kind of genius, Joseph.
There's a funny comment in the chat room. I have got to read this. Sean Hockney over in the room. Lobo told Superman he blew up his planet as a graduation gift to himself.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Funny right there. I don't care who you are.
Wow.
That's great.
That is awesome. Yeah, so he also utilizes an arsenal of deadly weaponry, usually guns or explosives. Now, Joe, just quick side note. This is kind of how I know him. So, because when I first saw him on screen, It's the Justice League. Mm-hmm. He bursts through the window of their big space hub where they all meet. And he's talking like this.
Yeah.
And he's riding that big space bike and he's got that big gun. And I'm like, all right, who is this?
Who's this guy?
Because whoever this is, I have to look more into him. And man, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome. So his guns and his explosives are ridiculously big and loud. Also, he has at times shown to have the ability commonly referred to as bottomless satchel. That means he can pull guns, explosives, ammo, etc. out of nowhere, out of something that was smaller than the item itself. Example, pulling a cannon out from behind his backside. So now we got like a Looney Tunes feel from this comic book character, and I love that. Though the New 52 incarnation of Lobo never displayed any of those abilities beyond regeneration. So, Joseph, Lobo. He's kind of a big deal in terms of villains, and I think in terms of DC characters in general, especially since Superman can't even defeat him.
Yeah.
He has to bribe him, Joe.
Yeah.
He has to bribe the man. So we ask you guys, we at PopX, we want to know, what is your favorite Lobo moment from the comics? Do you think that any of his origin story that we have talked about tonight is going to translate or make it to season 2 of Sci-Fi's Krypton? Comment on our live stream. We want to hear it from you. We want you to tweet at us, whatever you have to do. But this is an interesting character, and he, as well as Shazam, they both deserve to be talked
about. Yeah. And I think, honestly, now you can actually see, as we begin to wrap up, you can understand why Lobo could really bring some crazy flair to Krypton Season 2. And it's interesting, though, are they going to keep with, like Austin read in the last little bit there, are they going to keep more of the New 52 incarnation? Or are they going to go with the old school 80s, Deadpool craziness, off the chains type character? I don't know. Part of me wants to hope for that. Like, it's going to be like a Deadpool on television type thing.
Hope it's crazy.
I mean, I'm just hoping for it. But I think that's it. I mean, we're actually done. We're on time. Can you believe it? Oh, my gosh. So another origin stories in the book, episode 82. Austin, why don't you wrap us up there, my friend?
Yeah, man, we've flown through this. What a great episode. We hope you guys learned some stuff. So I am Austin Burke at The Burkinator. You guys can search and find me. Watch some really good movies the last couple of weeks. Christopher Robin. The best one, the one that I recommend most, is Mission Impossible Fallout. Man, what a just a great action movie. Deserves to be seen in the theater. So you can check my reviews out on YouTube. We are also part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to gonnageek.com. And check out some amazing podcasts on our home network. And also connect to us and with us on social media. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest, all at PopXCast. Send comments and suggestions via email at popxcast@gmail.com. And for future and past shows, visit our official website at www.popxcast.com. And Joseph, thank you once again for hosting this incredible show.
My pleasure. Just
doing a good job.
You're so sweet. Just talk amongst yourselves. All right. So as we wrap things up, I am Joseph Burke at Joseph Burke Arts all over the interwebs. You can find me. It's not too hard. Of course, hats off to my amazing team, PopX, as always. Mike couldn't be with us this week. His son and his family is getting ready to go to school. It's back to school week. He wanted to take the week off and spend a little time with his kids. Totally get that. Mike, I hope you're having a great time. And please tell the little ones, hey, for it. Well, I can't say little ones. They're ones in
big
college.
Ones now.
I'm getting old. I'm seriously getting old. But he'll be back with us on our next one. And so pretty awesome. And so I want to let you know right quick, we do have hopefully an interview coming up soon. It's an individual. If it's confirmed, this will be for episode 83. We're just kind of waiting right now to see how schedules are going to line up. But he is going to, I don't want to mention the name, because if I mention the name, he's a famous YouTuber. You'll know him exactly. So if he confirms with us, he's going to give us the full skinny on Star Wars Land opening up at Hollywood Studios, as well as Toy Story Land and all the attractions opening up around Orlando, including Halloween Horror Nights, which is said to reveal Stranger Things, the haunted walkthrough house this year at Halloween Horror Nights Universal Orlando. Just keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully his schedule works out. But that's all. I'm not going to say too much. I don't want to jinx it, but it's going to be a really cool interview. So you definitely want to be back for that one. If not, you know what? We're having another great story episode for you. So don't worry. Either way, 83 is going to be going down on August the 26th. So that's all you need to know. So from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. And just remember what old Jack Burton does: when the earth quakes and the poison arrows fall from the sky and the pillars of heaven shake. Yeah, Jack Burton, he just looks at that big old storm right square in the eye and he says, "Give us your best shot, pal. I can take it." Good old Jack Burton, I'm telling you what. All right, take care, guys. We'll see you next time. From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Please make sure to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/PopXCast, and click the follow button to get our live stream notifications. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out this and more great content on the Gonna Geek Network at gonnageek.com. Get your geek on!